Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class. Michael Larson and his wife and partner, Elizabeth Pomada, worked in publishing in New York before moving to San Francisco in 1970 and starting Larson Pomada Literary Agents in 1972. They are members of the Association of Authors Representatives and have sold hundreds of books to more than 100 publishers and imprints. Mike is the author of How to Write a Book Proposal, now out in its fourth edition, which has sold more than 100,000 copies. He also wrote How to Get a Literary Agent, now in its third edition, and is co-author of the second edition of Guerrilla Marketing for Writers, 100 Weapons for Selling Your Work. Mike and Elizabeth are co-founders of the San Francisco Writers Conference and the San Francisco Writers University. He also has an editing and consulting service for nonfiction writers. He can't help as an agent. Hi, Michael, is that you?
It is me.
Yay. Oh, thank you so much for coming. I was saying it's Ash Wednesday, but it feels a little like April Fool's Day to me because it's been kind of crazy. I already read your bio, so people know what a wonderful person you are. I haven't told them that I'm a huge fan of your book, and I've owned it, I think, in three of the four editions. So I guess I want to start out by just asking you, how did you get into the business of writing and agenting?
Total accident. Writing and agenting. Well, agenting happened accidentally. We Elizabeth Pomada, my wife and partner, and I moved to San Francisco in 1970, and we both worked in publishing in New York, but there weren't any publishing jobs out here. And Elizabeth went to an employment agent who dealt with writers, and she had all these manuscripts. She didn't know anything to do. She didn't know what to do with these manuscripts she had. So Elizabeth started trying to help her as an agent, and then wound up going out on her own. And the first manuscript she found was like 1,700 pages, and after a long time, she whittled it down to 1,200, and then sold it to Bantam on Alan Barnett, one of the houses I'd worked at, Bantam Books, and became a bestseller called A World Full of Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1972. And then we asked about writing, and in 1985, we're at the Booksellers Convention, an editor, Carol Carteno of Writer's Digest Books, asked me if I wanted to write a book about agents. And so that's how that happened.
Wow.
That's how I got involved with writing. Go figure. We'd done books about Victorian houses called Painted Ladies' Houses, painted in a lot of colors. In fact, Publishers Weekly chose the second of the six books in the series as one of the best books of the year.
Wow.
So we had been writing, but as far as writing the agent book, the first of the three books I've written that are writing connected, that's how that came about.
Okay. So now the title of your talk that you gave today talks about kind of three keys to become a successful writer being content, character, and connection. And you talk about being a successful writer in a bottom-up world. Can you talk about what that means, a bottom-up world?
Well, technology is transforming civilization. It's certainly transforming culture. It used to be a top-down world. It used to be there were three television networks telling us what to watch, and six big publishers telling us what to read. And that's totally reversed. Now you've got YouTube, where people are watching billions of videos a day, and you've got self-publishing, a print-on-demand publishing, in which there's no such thing as an unpublished author. All you need to be published today is a manuscript. Every author's got to get published, and that's wonderful. And you had the New York Times, the book review telling people what to read. I mean, it used to be that if a book was reviewed on the front page of the New York Times, it automatically became a bestseller. That can still happen, but it's getting rarer.
Yeah.
Now readers have become critics. It's a bottom-up world. If everybody tells every reader who reads a book, if they tell everybody they know on Facebook to read that they have to read a book, and that process is repeated, the book will become a bestseller.
Wow.
And that's why Amanda Hocking is possible.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's a bottom-up world. It's really about the quality of the book. Ultimately, it's about content. That's the first of three C's. If the content is good enough, it doesn't make any difference who publishes it or how. The world will find it. Readers or critics.
So say a little bit more about content. What is, you know, you have a list, and I've sent that out to all of our listeners so they know what it is.
Good.
But why don't you talk about what you mean by content and how a successful writer can develop some lifelong disciplines to help them develop that piece?
Well, but you have the list, and that's really good. I mean, there are those six things there, because I mean, I think that this whole process, passion is hugely important. You know, people think that publishing is about profit, and the reality is it's really about passion. Editors buy books because they're passionate about them, either because they love them, they think they'll make money, or they simply have to be published. But writers have to be driven by passion. I mean, there are challenges to being a writer, but it's passion that enables writers to survive those challenges and to overcome them, and they do. And they can, but it's being passionate enough about writing and by what one's writing and communicating about it. I mean, ultimately, the two things that one the two really words are content and communication. How you go about doing that, but you have to have content that works, and then you have to be as passionate about communicating it as you are about writing it.
Yeah.
Those are the two crucial pieces. But it all starts with reading, too. You can only write as well as you read. Okay, I mean, if one's going to write a novel, then you want to become an expert on the kind of novel you want to write by reading as many novels as you can. Sue Grafton says, you want to write mysteries? Hey, read 100 mysteries. You'll know what readers expect in a mystery.
Wow.
Which leads to that next notion. Reading enables you to establish models. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons why now is the best time ever to be a writer is that there are more models for writers to use than ever. Not just books, but also authors. So you have to figure out how to write a mystery, read enough mysteries, and you'll know. You have to figure out how to make a mystery successful. And this is equally true for nonfiction. Just see what authors are doing. Look at their websites. Meet them if you can. Go to their events. It's all out there. They're all doing the same kinds of things. So it's just to say just ape somebody indiscriminately. You want to learn from what people are doing and then adapt it. Try to do what successful authors like who are writing the kind of books you want to write are doing, but try to do it differently and better.
Wow.
So out of models come goals. You need two kinds of goals, writing and publishing goals. You want to be clear about what you want your books to achieve, but also having publishing goals. I mean, what I tell writers is if you tell me your goals, I'll tell you how to achieve them. There's nothing mysterious about it. I mean, if you'll be happy with a small house, which is the best thing for most writers, then that's one set of challenges. If you want to be published by a New York house, that's another set of challenges. And it's up to writers to choose their own goals and their own models. They are whatever they are. There's no right or wrong answers. It's whatever works for a writer. And then once you have those goals, it takes craft to achieve them. I mean, you need to come up with saleable ideas and to research them and figure out the most effective way to write. And that's the only one right way for a writer to write. And that's whatever way enables them to choose, whatever way enables them to produce their best work. And revision's a crucial piece of it. They've got to keep revising their work. I can tell right away, if I ask somebody, well, how many books have you read like this and how many drafts have you done? That's extremely telling. And the other thing that is sharing. How many people have given them feedback on it? I really encourage writers to start writing groups, to join or start writing groups. In fact, maybe the 9 people on this call could start a critique group. Maybe you could help them. You might do it online and critique each other's work. It's happening all over the country. And
wow.
That's really powerful to get feedback on their work as they go along. That's tremendously powerful. Writers will not get their work by themselves, but they don't have to. They should get all the help that they need from other writers. And also consider hiring a freelance writer, an editor, a freelance editor, if they can. Because an editor, hopefully, will bring a New York sense, an editor sensibility to what they're doing, and something they can't do for themselves, which is a crucial thing that an agent does. Agents and editors bring the editorial perspective to a piece of writing. And that's something writers can do for themselves, or even writing groups can do.
And so what is that editorial or agent perspective?
Well, it's just knowing what editors like to see and how they like to see it, and having a sense of a real sense of both craft and commerce. What content will really work in the marketplace today, and how to make it work? What an author brings to it. That's really important. I mean, that's further down the list than platform promotion.
So, thank you for this helpful, important stuff on content. Talk a little bit about the second key, character, and and how that's a key to becoming a successful writer?
Well, writers are basically in service to their readers.
Mm-hmm.
Not this notion. But you know, it's even truer online. And online is just essential. It's, you know, the web is like electricity. It's like the air we breathe. It's like water. It's essential to writers who want to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that writers have to get strangers, a community of strangers, to know, like, and trust them. And the way they do that is to serve, not sell. Being in social media, it's blogging, it's contributing to other blogs, it's having a website that's a huge resource to be as useful as possible, in as many ways as possible, to readers. Because that's how they create communities, which is a huge piece of this. So service is really important. Having a sense of mission. You have to believe that what you want to do is what you were born to do. What you love to do is what you were born to do. And you have to be able to convey that sense of mission to people when you talk about your book. It takes courage to do the things that writers have to do, to face a blank screen, to believe that you have... Is that me? I can't tell.
I don't know what that is. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
It takes courage to do the things that writers have to do, and to overcome obstacles they encounter, to persevere when they get rejected, and writers are going to get rejected. That comes with the territory. The New Yorker rejected a short story by Saul Bellow after he won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Writers get rejected. That's just a given. You have to believe that if your book is as good as it can be, that every no is getting you closer to yes. Commitment. You have to be committed to what you want to do. It's going to take time. It's going to take longer than you want it to take. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to reach your goals. And discipline. William Faulkner said, I write when the spirit moves, and I make sure it moves every day.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out a work style and being committed to doing what it takes to achieve your goals. Jack Canfield, a Chicken Soup co-author, said, do 5 things every day to promote your work and yourself. Do something on social media. Contribute to another blog. But having the discipline to maximize the value of every day. Every day is important. Time is sacred. Time is more important than money. We don't get it back once it's gone. Creativity. I know there's millions of authors, millions of books, 150 million blogs. So it's really crucial that writers bring what only they can, what only each individual writer can bring to whatever they do, what I call their secret sauce. That's the creativity, the way of looking at things, perspective, the style that only they can bring to whatever they do. Their approach to making things as visually interesting as possible. Visual appeal is extremely important in everything, in writing and promotion. Balance. Now we have personal lives and professional lives, and there's more things than ever to balance. I have to put those things together. One's time online and off, the time you devote to writing and promotion. It's a lot to balance. And finding a harmonious balance that enables you to achieve your goals and keeps you going. You don't want to burn out. That's going to evolve over time. Faith. People have to have faith in their work and themselves to survive the challenges that they're going to confront them. And patience. Patience is usually important. The only way to get the best editor-publisher deal is to maximize the value of a book before you sell it. And you do that by building your platform, and we'll talk about that, by having the strongest possible promotion plan, and by test marketing the book in as many ways as possible. And that takes as long as it takes. Seth Godin, who's a marketing guru, says that the best time to start promoting a book is 3 years before it comes out.
Mm.
Because it can take that long to build your platform, to write your book as well as possible, and to test market in as many ways as you can. So patience is important. Your book's going to be, chances are, a book's going to be ready to be published before it can be sold in the best possible way. So there's going to be that gap, that tension between, well, I've finished this book, it's ready to sell, and that may very well be true, but can you get the best editor-publisher deal for it? Just having a finished manuscript won't get you the best editor-publisher deal. It's a crucial piece of it. But how ready are you to be published? And we'll talk more about that. That'll become clear. Simplicity. I wish I could ask all 9 people on this call how many keys they have in their life. How many keys do you have?
I think about four.
Okay. Well, I've got one, my front door. Now, you know, there's something called Myers' Law, where you stand depends on where you sit. You know, if you have kids, a car, and a mortgage, it's a different kind of life. I get that. But it's really crucial to simplify as much as possible, to be relentless and rigorous on focusing on what's important and eliminating what isn't. Got to simplify your life as much as possible. Writing can fill all the time, and writing and promoting, communicating can fill all the time you have. And love, I think it's important that you love this whole process. How you feel about it, your passion comes through in everything you do. You have to love your readers. You're working for them. You know, the more you love them, the better you serve them, the better they will serve you.
Wow, that's great. So that was the second key, which is character, and the final key is connection. And you've been talking a little bit about platform, and I know that's part of this. So can you say something about what connection is and what that all includes?
Sure, it's really the quality of the relationships you have with the people that you need and you want in your life. And starts with technology, because as I said, the web is the air we breathe. I mean, technology is the greatest tool for writers since the printing press.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. It makes it easy to write and research and sell and promote your work and build and maintain your communities. I mean, it's just amazing. But writers have to know how to use it. Not that they have to become techies, but they need to get whatever help they can, whether virtual assistants or teenagers or, you know, digital natives to help them. They have to be on top of them. They have to be aware, be in a community of writers who help each other with technology and teach each other how to use the new technology. I mean, technology is continuing to evolve very, very quickly, and staying on top is important, and how you can adapt what other writers are doing to what you're doing. That's huge. And knowledge, you know, there's more ways to make money and to promote books than ever. But to take advantage of the huge opportunities that are out there, writers have to know more and do more than ever. They have to know about publishing. They have to know about their craft. They have to know about other writers and what they're doing. Every field has its own combination of events and organizations and media and mavens, key people in the field. And if you want to make a living writing books about a field, editors are going to expect you, certainly editors of big houses, to be wired to your field, whatever that is. A goal without a plan is like a dream. You have to have a sense of where you're going. Sue Grafton says writers should have a 5-year plan. Think about where you want to go, what your literary and publishing goals are. There's a lot of these. There's a lot of information on our website, by the way, LarsonPomata.com, including a page on setting goals. So you can answer those questions for yourself. You need some kind of plan on how to get from here to there. So Sue Grafton says, for example, well, try writing a short story a week for a year, 52 short stories. It's a great way to practice, to warm up. But have a plan to get from where you are now from where you want to go. And talk to other writers. Do this communally with other writers. Talk to published writers. See how they got where they are. Contentpreneuring. Okay, this is a hugely important notion. To be successful today, I mean, the whole notion, the old model was writers would sit behind a desk and write a book, and they would get out into the world, and their primary job was writing books, sitting behind their desk. And that's no longer it. Today is about being out in the world and being part of it. Being a contentpreneur. So what is a contentpreneur? A contentpreneur is somebody who can write, generate information on a continuing basis, a steady stream of work, short work, long work, work you do for free, like blogs, or until you get paid for it, and write you do for fees, articles, talks. You need to keep generating material at all levels, at all lengths, from as little as a tweet, 140 characters, to as long as a book. You need to be able to promote your book, and from as little as a one-line pitch, a logline TV guide that has to convince people to listen to a program, to a one-hour radio interview. Information has to be scalable. I mean, you have to think like an entrepreneur. That's also part of it. If you're a writer, you're running a small business. So you have to think that way about the challenge of doing what you do. You have to be resourceful, taking advantage of new opportunities and solving problems which you will inevitably encounter. Get help from other writers. Get the help you need to make that happen. So I mean, those are certainly parts and aspects of being a contentpreneur. And then communities. Okay, get the help you need. You need different kinds of communities, online and off, around the world. Communities of readers. Communities of other writers to give you feedback on your work. Communities of media people to help you get exposure. Trade and consumer print and broadcast and electronic media to get you the exposure you need for your book. Communities of bloggers. There are blog tours now. You get to start contributing to blogs, the key blogs in your field. And you can do a blog tour. We'll talk about that when it comes to promotion. Remind me if I don't say it.
Okay.
And the most important kind of community is community collaborators. I mean, there's so many ways to make money. You can do apps, but you're not going to do every. You can't do an app by yourself and necessarily a video by yourself. You need collaborators who can help you do the things that you can do to help you succeed. So having a community of collaborators to do different things, it's a crucial piece of it. Platform. Platform is continuing visibility online and off on the subject of your book or the kind of book you're writing with potential book buyers. It's a blog. It's articles. It's a website. It's talks. It's being in writing organizations and organizations in your field, getting to know as many people as possible, certainly as many of the key people in your field as possible. Communities and collaboration, crucial things. Platform, yes, I'm sorry. So it's crucial that you be visible. Publishing runs on numbers. Now, if you want to be published by a small house, platform promotion are not important. Every publisher wants to have as big a platform as much, a bigger promotion plan as possible, but small houses aren't concerned about that because they don't have to sell as many books. It's New York houses that will be concerned about it, and they run on numbers. They want to know how many people read your blog, how many people visit your website, how many talks you're giving a year, if talks is part of what you do, to how many people. So numbers are going to be important to publishers. How many articles you've had published, in what magazines. So platform, extremely important. So one of the many reasons why now is the best time ever to read to be a writer, is in more ways to test market your work than ever, to prove it works before you try to sell it. The blog is the simplest. You just sit down and start blogging your book to build interest in it and to get feedback on it, to crowdsource the responses to your work. But you can use articles and talks. On our website, there's a list of 10 dozen ways to test market your work. And that's how you prove it works. That's how you, a crucial piece of maximizing its value, is to test market in as many ways and media as you can. Then branding. I mean, this goes to the notion of niche craft. And that is the simplest, most direct way to become a successful author is to practice what I call niche craft, to find a subject that lends itself to a series of books or a kind of novel that lends itself to a series of books that you'll be passionate about writing and promoting, and then build a career around it, book by book. That's the simplest, straightest way to become a successful author. So you want to build a brand, just like Sue Grafton did with the A to Z series, like my most successful nonfiction author did, Jay Levinson, with Guerrilla Marketing. There's more than 40 books in the series, the Chicken Soup series, the Dummy series. You can create your own brand. Promotion. Okay, usually a nonfiction proposal, promotion-driven book, your promotion plan will be the thing that will determine the editor-publisher deal you get. And a promotion plan really is how you're going to leverage your platform. It's how you're going to use your visibility to sell books. So you can't really have a promotion plan that will excite big houses until you have a platform. A promotion plan, editors are taking the promotion plans of novelists into consideration when buying a book as well, and platforms. So even novelists need to be able to promote their work and be visible. To my mind, a promotion plan is just simple. It's something that starts under the subhead promotion, and it begins to promote the book the author will. This is followed by a bulleted list of things that an author will do to promote the book. In descending order of impressiveness, each part of which starts with a verb. So give X talks a year. Can't just say give talks, that 2 or 20. They want numbers. John Wiley will want to see the list of places you're already speaking in. They'll want to see your platform. Sell X books a year. If you're writing nonfiction, giving talks, publishers will want you to sell books. And it's not about, you don't want to exaggerate anything. You want to under-promise and over-deliver. And you have to do the plan that's right for you and for your book where you are now, based on how commercial your idea is, your platform, your resources. You can only do what you can do. And you're starting at, we're all writers starting out at the beginning of your career, and that's fine. Writers don't usually strike it rich with their first books. You have to have a long view about this as well as a short view. You've got to assume you've got a lifetime of books to write, and you start where you start, wherever that is. And then just keep building, and you'll get where you want to go. So contributions. I think giving back is important. This is becoming an increasingly transparent world. And businesses, writers like businesses, going to be known by the organizations they help, by how they contribute to the world. And again, there's more ways to contribute than ever. So find causes that you're passionate about and help them in any way you can. And then last, the celebration. None of us celebrate as much as we can or should. And you're going to have, last night, one of our clients gave a talk about becoming a successful speaker. And he said he became a successful speaker by 1,000 small successes and 100,000 small failures. You're going to fail your way to success. It's like talking and walking. Make mistakes and you learn from them. And if you keep learning from your models and your mentors and your mistakes, you'll get where you want to go. But when you do achieve something, celebrate it on the scale of what you've accomplished, and use it as an opportunity to celebrate with the people who help you get there. So,
you had mentioned blog tour earlier. Do you want to say a little bit more about that?
About what?
About blog tours. You had said to remind you about.
Thank you very much. Yeah, when I was talking about promotion. Okay, so one of the things you want to do is start contributing to other blogs in your field, the key bloggers in your field. And develop relationships with them. The key bloggers in any field are swamped with books and with relationships. But even so, if you contribute, if you offer a guest blog, you develop relationships with them. When it comes time for your book to be published, you can ask them about participating in a blog tour. And what that means is every day you'll make an appearance on a different blog. It could be an excerpt. It could be an interview. It could be a contest. You can do different things on different blogs. And you let all the bloggers know, you line these all up in advance, and you tell them. And they all tell all of their individual audiences. So all the bloggers benefit from all the blogs, all the appearances you're going to make. And the cumulative impact of that can be really, really big. But it's really part of a virtual book tour. There's a lot you can do online. There's a chapter in the proposal book of 18 ways to build your visibility online. It's as simple as a signature. Your email signature, for example, all of your social media, all the ways to contact you, all the products and services that you have. Participating in internet, radio, and television shows, there's a lot of them. And they're not short interviews, they're long ones. There's Global Talk Radio. There's a different online radio networks, radio and television. Somebody in Florida interviewed me, did a one-hour Skype interview for me when the fourth edition of the proposal book came out. So there's lots of ways to teleseminars, to be visible online, and you want to maximize those when your book comes out. One perspective you have to have about the publication of your book is that you've got like as little as a two-week launch window when books are in stores and reviews are appearing and publishers are paying attention to your book. And you need to be as visible as possible in as many ways and places as possible. And that's not a spigot you can turn on when you need it. You have to build up to it to take maximum advantage of it. And there's more ways to do that than ever, happily.
Wow.
And it's a process. You'll get better as you go along. You can do what you can do and just keep getting better and learning from it. Learning from it and learning from your from other writers.
One of the things that the questions I get a lot from new writers, especially today, is how do they sort out? Is it better to go the self-publishing route because it may be easier to break into those formats, or is it better to go with an agent or simply to try a small indie press? How does a writer sort those things out?
Right. Okay. One of the handouts on our site is about 9 options for getting published. You have more ways to get published than ever. So it's an excellent question. And the answer is, I don't know. The answer is depends on your goals. If you'll be happy with a small house, then they buy books from writers. Writers sell more books than agents do. Agents are focused on New York because that's where the money is. But there's a lot of books, more books. Agents sell maybe like 10% of the books that are published. Most writers sell their own books. Small houses, medium-sized houses outside of New York, university presses, niche presses, specialty houses, they all buy books from authors. So you can sell your own book. If you'd be happy with a small house, then they have sweat equity. They'll help you spend more time developing it. It should still be 100% when you send it out to them. And you can do that very simply by just sending a one. You can do this with agents or editors. When your proposal and manuscript is ready to sell, just send a one-page e-query letter to as many agents or editors as possible. Look on their websites, look in directories to see who are the likely agents or editors for your book, and send them as many query letters to as many people as you want simultaneously. Let them know you're querying other people. It's just a query list, just one-page letter. The simplest way I've thought about it is the hook, the book, and the cook. One page, three or four paragraphs, hook them to the book, why anybody should care, then the book, what it is, what you've got ready, the models for it, and then the cook, who you are, the most important stuff about your platform and your promotion plan. You're there. All they need to know. Simple. Send that to as many people as you want simultaneously. Let them know you're sending it to other people. Those who respond, send them what they want to see. I mean, you know, one of the great things about being a writer now is that agents and editors all have websites. They all have guidelines. Give them what they want. What could be simpler? If you're sending material to more than one editor or more than one agent, and do one or the other. I would do both simultaneously. Just send them what they want and just and see what happens.
Wow.
But you want to make sure it's 100% before you do that. Don't send any book before it's time. So, but again, you know, these decisions aren't lifelong options. I mean, I talk about test marketing. I encourage writers to test market their books as a print-on-demand book, as an e-book, to make sure they work. It's a way of maximizing the value of it. Get feedback on it. It could be a podcast. One woman did a podcast of her. You could do it for free. Dictate it to a computer, and then there are podcast directories that make it available for free. One woman got 40,000 downloads of her podcast, and of course she got a book deal. You know, and then
wow.
Amanda Hawking was with 900,000 copies of her book, so that she got made $2 million, and then she got a $2 million deal from St. Martin's. So,
wow.
And if you have means to sell your book, certainly do it as a print-on-demand book. If it's got an ISBN, an International Standard Book Number, which print-on-demand publishers give it, it'll be on Amazon. The world will have access to it. It's really important to get feedback on it, two kinds of feedback. To the reading experience on a scale of 1 to 10, what was it like for your readers? And also, if it's a nonfiction book that you want to affect people, what effect it had on their lives? You want people emailing you that information. And so you can keep refining the book. If you publish on Smashwords, an ebook publisher, you can update your book whenever you want.
Mm.
It's amazing the tools that are available to you today. The options you choose now are not the options you're going to have in 5 or 10 years.
Right.
In all things, you've got to trust your instincts and your common sense and do whatever works and get feedback from people who are doing the things you want to do. If you're going to go to an ebook publisher, make contact with those people who've been published by that ebook publisher, or the print-on-demand publisher. See, get the experience of what that was like, what their experience was. It's a new technology. All this stuff's new, folks. And there's going to be challenges and obstacles. There's challenges and obstacles with every kind of publishing. There's challenges and obstacles with life. I mean, part of the value of the 3 C's to me is that you can adopt it for other professions and for your personal life. This is life, guys. So it is what it is. So you will figure it out. You can do this. If you're listening to this call, you can do this. But it's not about can, it's about will. It's just the will it takes to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes. You'll get it right. Even if you don't get it right the first time, you will get it right in time.
That's great. I want to open the call up to questions. If anybody has a question for Michael Larson, the way to unmute yourself is *7. So if anybody's interested in asking a question, now is the time. We've got about 9 minutes left.
I'm open to answers, too. If anybody's got an answer, I'll take an answer.
That would be good, too. Thank you. And
there
we tend
go.
To have a pretty
have
quiet group.
Okay, well, that's fine. I wonder what it is I haven't told them that I could tell them.
Well, you know, one thing that I'm curious about, I work with a lot of writers. This is Rochelle still. I work with a lot of writers who are incredibly impatient to
yeah.
get their stuff out there, and I think
yep.
sometimes the stuff gets out there before it's quite ready.
Absolutely.
What are some things that would help us know if something's ready? And you're talking about
well,
test marketing as well.
Writers are not going to know when their work is ready. Only readers
okay.
can tell them that. That's why they have to get feedback from readers. And there's a list on our website of eight kinds of readers to give you feedback on your work.
Mm.
Of course, your friends and family, they're going to love it because they love you. But also potential book buyers. If you're writing a romance, get some romance readers to say, whoa, will they buy this book? Literate objective readers, they may know nothing about your subject, your kind of book, but they know writing. Get feedback. Mm-hmm. And, of course, experts on the subject. You know, whether it's academicians or authors in the field, people who really know the field well, people who have been published in the field, people who are just read a lot of books on the subject. And, of course, you know, as you go along, a writing group to make sure every word's right. Mm-hmm. Every word has to be right, and your book has to have the impact you want it to have. I mean, one of the things you can do, for example, is to, you know, anything. You want your book to have as much impact as possible. It's humorous, dramatic, inspirational. You know, one of the things that Chicken Soup people do, they have a panel of 40 readers who grade every story on a scale of 1 to 10, and they just use the 9.5s and 10s.
Wow.
So, you know, if there's something that's moving or insightful, humorous in your book, have readers go through the manuscript grade it on a scale of 1 to 10 to make sure that the things you have, you think have impact, do have the kind of impact you want it to have. I mean, that's really important. I mean, one of the reasons to use talks to test market a book is that you can get feedback from audiences on your humor, on your anecdotes. But talking isn't writing. The impact you want to have has to come off the page, you know, without your gestures and voice and whatever. So only the right set of readers will tell you that. But you can, you know, if you're impatient, try putting it up as an e-book and see what response you get to it. But still, you know, the feedback you get is to determine, you know, what you put out there is going to determine the kind of feedback you get. You got to make sure it's 100%. And I get that impatience thing, Rochelle. It's a problem I confront all the time. And it's particularly frustrating when you have a saleable book and you know you have a saleable book. But what's the best way to publish it? You've got a saleable book and you'll be happy with a small house. Problem solved. It's, you know, most people want to be published by big houses, but they may have a book that's saleable, but it's not saleable to a big house. Because they don't have the platform promotion plan that looks like big houses.
Mm.
So it's about being clear about your goals and what it takes to achieve them. Learning from what other authors do and how they do it and how long it takes. It takes as long as it takes, whatever that is. So you need to adjust your goals or your means to achieve them.
That's great. We're kind of at the point where we do the last tip. So I'm curious, you know, kind of what's one thing that you'd leave our listeners with to kind of help them move forward from where they're at?
Well, they should know now is the best time ever to be a writer. If you're writing to meet the needs of the marketplace and you can communicate about your work and you're passionate about doing it, this is the best time ever to be a writer. You know, before the end of this decade, there's going to be, you know, more than 5 billion cell phones now. Most of them aren't going to be smartphones. But in this decade, they'll all be smartphones. People are going to have access to all media all the time, anywhere. The readership for your work is going to be potential. It's going to be gigantic. I mean, it's huge what's happening. The ability to connect, to communicate, to collaborate, to be creative with other people, it's going to be huge. It's tremendously exciting what's going on. You guys are the luckiest generation of writers that ever lived. Just make the most of it. Stay with it. You'll make it
happen. Thank you. Thank you. That is so helpful. And I want to thank you so much for being with us. And I want to remind our listeners that there's Michael's bio and a link to his website is at our website, rightnowcoach.com. I'll send you out another note with his handout and links to his website so you can get some of the handouts he mentioned. Michael Larson, again, thanks for being with us. This has been the Right Now Mastermind class for February 2012, and next month our guest will be Melissa Ann Whiskey talking about editing. Michael, have a great day. Everyone, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.